This is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Now, it's been common knowledge for a long time that women seem to be more sexually fluid than men are. But I don't think that is genetic. I don't think it's biological. I think it's societal. You look at societies where men having sex with men was acceptable, and a whole lot of men had sex with men. Now, in our modern world, pretty much everywhere, sex with other men is, for a lot of people, very, very taboo and forbidden. And many governments still forbid it. And in this country, we're not really particularly friendly to men who have sex with other men. Whereas, because we are a male-dominated culture that enjoys watching women with other women, that's okay. So, to me, the whole idea that there's biological underpinnings to this sexual fluidity difference doesn't make any sense at all to me. And there's a study done. And a study was done by, it appeared in the Social, Cognitive, and Affective Neuroscience. So basically, here's what they're saying. They say that their study indicates that differences in visual and attentional processing, which cannot be voluntarily altered, guide how women sexually respond to erotic content featuring men and women. According to the assistant teaching professor at the University of California, where this study was done in San Diego, she said, this is Jana Dickinson, "Both in our society and scientifically, we have much to learn about sexuality. We consider sexual orientation a stable, enduring pattern of attractions, desires, arousal, and behaviors. Yet we also know that many individuals have the capacity to experience attractions, desires, and arousal that run counter to their overall pattern. Are these sexual responses processed in the same way? What makes them different? Can we change them? Can we manipulate our attention to magnify our sexual responses?" Now, as you can guess, this is an MRI study, and we've talked before about some of the potential problems with MRI studies and our actual understanding of what those images mean. So basically, they recorded the brain activity of 25 women, and the women were watching brief video clips that contained erotic or neutral content. And again, that raises another red flag for me, because people respond to different kind of erotic content differently, and I'm not just talking whether it's, you know, gay porn or straight porn, but it's how that is presented. So what these clips were of and how they were done, that's really important. That's information I don't have. So the women were told to watch the video as you normally would, or they were told to attend mindfully to the videos by non-judgmentally tuning into their bodily sensations. Dickinson says, "fMRI can be a powerful tool to help us understand sexual orientation because it assesses neurobiological activity in response to a particular stimulus and compares it to another stimulus." Okay, she is right there, but that doesn't necessarily mean we know exactly what that response is. We can just see, oh, the responses are different and the response is more intense. Well, I'm not a neuroscientist, but it seems to me that is fraught with potential misinterpretation. So after all this, what is their finding? What does this all mean? Well, I don't know that it really means a whole lot. She says, "Overall, our findings suggest that sexual responses that run counter to one's sexual orientation are neurobiologically distinct from those that are consistent with one's sexual orientation." Well, no, that doesn't make a lot of sense, actually, because this is 29 women, which is a profoundly small sample size, of course, and they were all heterosexual. So it speaks nothing to people who identify as gay, have the similar response? Is it reversed? And what about bisexual people? So they're making claims about everybody, but it doesn't really make any sense because they only studied heterosexual women. Plus, then we get this whole mindfulness thing that they talk about, and sure, if you're just looking at something normally, and then you're looking at, you know, gay porn, and you're told to be mindful, that being mindful, that focusing on a different way, why wouldn't that light up the brain a little differently just by itself? Now, I'm not an expert on these things, but this study raises so many red flags. They claim that the findings provide more evidence that sexual orientations are stable and not a choice. Well, I don't actually think they're especially a choice, but I also don't believe that they're necessarily stable, because I've seen them change over time with people, especially with people who had no idea that they were bisexual, and later on in life they discovered this. Now, does that mean that they were always bisexual? Are they somehow fluid? We don't really know. But they make this incredible claim. We discovered the limits of women's erotic flexibility. Among the women in our study, sexual orientation, not erotic flexibility, guides the way in which women process sexual stimuli. Well, maybe it does, but I don't think I see how that makes your point. Now, I think about sexual fluidity as more potential. You have the potential to discover new erotic desires. There are things that people at one point in their life didn't really find erotic, and then later on they do. So what does that mean? People do tend to be, in my experience, profoundly sexually fluid. In other words, the ability to open up the range of things that they're willing to be aroused by, but generally within a reinforcing climate where that is okay. So you're a swinger, you go into a swing club, there are things that are more okay there for you than in the outside world, where you'll get positive reinforcement. If you're in the gay community, you're getting positive reinforcement for your sexuality. And I think it's that positive reinforcement and the destructiveness of societal condemnation of different kinds of consensual sex that really creates the problem and kind of creates flaws in any research you try to do on this stuff, because how do you tease out the societal conventions? I mean, what about a woman who is actually sexually attracted to other women, but she shut that down because maybe she's a member of a very conservative church? What does her brain scan show? You know, I just discovered this study. I'm going to dig around to see if anybody has any kind of response to it that makes sense, and I'll report on that later. And there's another study. It's an old issue. It's been around forever, and that's does public nudity impact your body image? And anybody who's been involved in nudism for a long time knows absolutely yes. You have a better body image when you are more comfortable with your body, and getting naked is one of the ways that can help you get more comfortable with your body. Well, this was published in the Journal of Sex Research, and their conclusion was that communal nakedness tends to reduce social physique anxiety. And I'm a big proponent of communal nakedness. I think it actually does a lot of good things for you. Let me read what the director of Equilab at Goldsmiths University of London, his name is Keon West, and here's what they said. A large chunk of my research looks at prejudice, and specifically sexual prejudice, prejudiced against anyone who isn't perceived as heterosexual or heteronormative. This may surprise many people, but sexual prejudice is often correlated with other types of thinking, such as sexism and other forms of overall sexual restrictiveness. I do think that getting a better understanding of the pros, cons, and responses to nakedness can help us build a society where people are freer and happier. Of course, it's also more fun to do a study on nakedness and improving body image than another study on prejudice, which always makes me a bit sad. You know, I hadn't really thought about that. And so much of the research that gets funded is focused on negative aspects. There just doesn't seem to be as many studies focused on positive aspects around sexuality. So the researchers found that participants who got naked reported feeling more positive. And what they had to do is freely interact with one another for about 45 minutes. And then they had to do some psychological assessments. Again, I should point out, doing this kind of research is really hard because there's so many different variables. So they had around 50 men and women, and they randomly paired them off into two rooms, and they socialized, one group naked and one group not. And they found that the people who socialized naked, I'm assuming these people, doesn't say this here, but I'm assuming these were not nudists, because that would certainly skew the results. And I don't know if these people had ever been naked in front of other people before. I don't see that in the information I have here. Now, as I said many times here, a single study is not proof. As much as I might agree with the findings, certainly need more research on this. It's been done forever, and it always finds the same outcome. Social nudity helps you feel better about your body, but I think it does a lot more. You are more relaxed, you're more comfortable. It seems like socializing with other naked people is easier because you've dropped so much pretense. And so I think there's actually a lot more going on here than just feeling better about your body. Although I'm pretty sure that is one of the benefits, because I've certainly seen that and I've certainly felt it. And I'd certainly like to see more contemporary studies about the benefits of social nudity, because I think it's a really good thing.